You have any question? Which I would be wondering if you don't. What the three principles you said? The rahmah, the hikmah, the knowledge. The rahmah means you approach him nicely. The hikmah means to choose the proper time and place to talk to him. The knowledge means you have the proofs and evidences that what he is upon is not salafiyah or wrong or mistake or sin. It's not because you think it is like that. No, but because you have the dalil. You have the dalil that you are going to present to him. So this way you call to the da'wah salafiyah. Wallahu a'lam. Yeah. Huh? Basira, the knowledge. Huh? The only spirit. The basira is the knowledge. Basira is the knowledge. Yani, when we, basira can be the hikmah. Okay? Meaning, you have a basira, and what is abon, what mistakes, what the delil, what this. But because we said three principles, Rahma, Hikmah, and Basira. So the Basira must be the knowledge. No.
Some people have a negative image of Salafiyya about the Salafiyya. And are frightened by the word Salafi. Whenever they hear this word, they think it's extremism and they have a negative image. Is it better to give dawah to them without using the word Salafi or Salafiyya?
Right. Fine. Except, using the principles and concept without using the word Salafiyya. Same thing would come up with Muslims. Many people, kuffar, they are so frightened of Islam. So, is it okay to come and use the concepts and principles of Islam and making da'wah to them without telling them that this is Islam? Is it okay to call them to Islam without telling them that this is Islam?
If it brings them to Islam, yes.
Without telling them that this is Islam?
But you tell them right at the last minute. You don't tell them it's Islam.
But the last minute they will run away because...
No, they'll run away at the start.
If you tell them that this is Islam, they will run away. Now I think this is not correct because the kuffar at the time of Rasulullah ﷺ knew what is Islam, and the Prophet ﷺ from the first minute was telling them that. He did not delay telling them that this is Islam until the last minute, but he was telling them this is Islam. You want to know Islam? This is Islam. Islam is mercy. Islam is gentleness. Islam is this. That is Islam. As if you tell them this, and then they like it, and they say, oh, mashallah, nice. What religion is this? Islam. Ah, no. Don't tell me that this is Islam. No, it's impossible. You are lying.
No, but by this time, they would have accepted it.
Accepted what?
The principles and the concept.
They accepted the principles. Right? But once you tell them that this is Islam, they would say, no. This is not correct. This is not Islam. But you're Muslim now. No. He's not Muslim now. He's going to say that he's not Muslim. But when, from the beginning, as what Rasulullah ﷺ used to say to the kuffar, that is Islam. To believe in Allah and His Messenger, to pray, to like this is Islam. And once we explain to the people the truth of Islam and Salafiyya, people will understand. and look to the spread of the Salafiyya today. It is very widely spread. 10 years back, 15 years back, people really did not know what is Salafiyya, and they really were frightened of Salafiyya. But because the colors of Haqq, the people of the Salafis who are Abu Talal, they come up and said, this is Salafiyya, this is not like this khutbah. We're presenting now Salafiyya, and we're saying that there are some people calling themselves Salafis, but they are not true Salafis. Exactly, we say this is Islam, and there are people calling themselves, they are not Muslims. So people now know what is Islam, what is Salafiyya, and etc. Wallahu a'lam. Na'am. This word Salafi is the opposite of Khalafi, right? And this word Khalafi is used before Islam. Allah Ta'ala said, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ ضَاعُ الصَّلَاةِ. So the word Khalafi and Salafi is known. It's known. And it is in the Arabic language means the one who follows the way of people before him. That's simply what it is. The one who follows the way of people before him. Right? In Islam, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the first one who used the word Salaf. He said to Fatima, Ana laki Salafun. I am a Salaf for you. Meaning, I'll die before you and you're going to follow me. And it become used as wide as it is today, maybe in the second or third, or maybe after that a bit, century. First, in the second or third century, or maximum fourth century. When the people started giving themselves different names, Mu'tazila, Sufiya, Shia, Badiya, this. And they link themselves to Islam. They say they are Muslims. And then Ash'ariya said that they are Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So then the ulama needed to say, okay, who is Muslim is the one who is up on the way of the Salaf. So he's Salaf. From there it came. It's not something, as they say, used by Albani as first. No, it is a lie. It is either intended lie or a word repeated by an arrogant who does not know nothing about the history of Islam. But it doesn't mean more than the true Islam. That's it. Because it means the way of the people before you. Before you until the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now. Coming back to the Well, I think like these khutbahs will answer that and explain it. Because I kept repeating the word Salafi, Salafi, Salafi. And I said, who does this is not Salafi. Who does this is not Salafi. Who does this is not Salafi. And I mentioned the backbiting and slandering and lying and all this. But I don't mean that, oh, backbite or slander or is not Salafi. La. But I mean, it is not the Salafiyya. As it is not Islam. Islam came to call against lying, deceiving, cheating, backbiting, slandering, stealing. All this Islam came to fight against. So, Salafiyya fights against. Being? Yes.
Are we supposed to have priority to something before the others?
Like what?
Meaning, before starting with the person, starting with the knowledge, to live from that.
It depends, it depends. And it is not necessarily to be that every Salaf is a scholar. It does not necessarily mean that the Salafis are a scholar. And you're going? It does not necessarily يعني, to be a Salafi is to be a scholar. يعني, you cannot be a Salafi until you become a scholar. No, that's wrong. But once you know the truth, the haq, you have the knowledge. And when we say knowledge, we does not mean the knowledge of the whole Islam, but the knowledge of what you are upon or what you are going to do. This is a must. If you cannot be a Muslim if you don't know what is Islam, you cannot pray if you don't know what is prayer. Now, but wisdom is needed all the time. Wisdom is needed all the time. If you are a scholar or not, you need to have wisdom. And also, the rahmah, the mercy. You will have to have it because of Rasulullah Sallam, when he mentioned these two, he mentioned them for general. When he mentioned the knowledge, he mentioned it for specific people. Specific people. Yani, he صلى الله عليه وسلم said, الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن. People of mercy, I will bestow mercy on them. And he said, ليس منا من لا يرحم صغيرنا. It's not from us, the one who does not have mercy with the youngest one of us. So this is anyone. When the man came and he saw صلى الله عليه وسلم kissing one of his grandchildren, he said, Ya Rasulullah, kiss your children? By Allah, I have 11 of them, I never kissed one of them. He said, what can I do if Allah remove the mercy from your heart? So he's not an alim, he's a normal person. So mercy must be found in all Muslims. With all Muslims. And same thing with the hikmah. He صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Al-hikmah dallatul mu'min. فأينما وجدها فهو حق بها. The wisdom is the missing of a believer. Wherever he finds it, he is the one who has more right to take it than anyone else. So it means that you be on the hikmah. Look for the hikmah and be on it. Look for hikmah and be on it. So this does not necessarily to be a alim, to have hikmah or to have mercy. But to be a alim, you have to have ilm. You have to have ilm. You cannot sit and when I say you cannot be a alim until you have the ilm, you cannot sit for teaching people if you are not alim, if you don't have the ilm. If you are not alim, you cannot sit any alim of the thing that you are going to teach, any talibul ilm or alim. Then you cannot sit for teaching. And you cannot be a talib al-ilm or alim until you have the ilm. Until you have the ilm. Now, طيب, here we have, in regard to the brothers and sisters on the net, if they have questions, they are raising their hands. You can send your questions, please.
I have
Go ahead. نعم.
They would say, well, this is an obligation on us that we have to convey at least one verse from the Prophet, but they will only want to add.
Fine.
When you say to them, okay, yes, I'm fine, this is the duty of the Muslim, but whatever you do, you know, and that's the Prophet, but to do that, you do it, you know it from anything. You heard it from a scholar, you read it somewhere, that you can convey only that. Don't go beyond that. Then he will find the problem he will have to be for going forward to convey more about the Islam without knowledge.
They
may have the knowledge, they may have some sort of hikmah, they may have some tolerance.
Yeah, sorry. Now we said, these three principles are very essentially for one to be a Salafi da'i. But to be a Salafi, it is not necessarily to be a da'i. Not necessarily to be a alim, sorry. Because in the Salafiyya we have ulama, we have awam. Two of these concepts must be found with all. With all. Alim and the one who is not alim. The rahmah and the hikmah. Must be. One who has rahmah and hikmah, it does not mean that he go and convey the message. And what you said of what the Jama'at Tabligh take as an excuse where Rasulullah said, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. We said this is not enough for them to go and convey the ilm, even if it is one ayah. Because Rasulullah who said, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً, is the one who sent the Sahaba to convey the message of Islam. And when we look to the history of Islam, we find that Rasulullah only sent Sahaba who have already spent time with him and they seek knowledge from him, and he knew them that they have the knowledge. So he sent them. Like Mus'ab ibn Umair when he sent them to Medina. Like Mu'ad, Ali, Abu Musa, and he sent them to Yemen, and the others, and the like. So he used to send people of knowledge, that he knew that they are above knowledge. And he told them what to also convey. As he told Mu'adh, you call them to La ilaha illallah. If they agree, then if they understand it and absorb it, and agree upon it, and accept it, then call them to Salah, like that. But what these people doing, no one doubts that Jama'at Tabligh are very rich in the issue of wisdom and tolerance. They are the best today, as a Jama'at, as a group, they're the best in that. But are they spreading the hikmah and the wisdom? They are spreading the ilm. But they are not ulama, so they are doing something wrong. They are doing something wrong. Allah Ta'ala delegated this authority of teaching the ilm to the ulama. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. وإذا جاء أمر من الأمن أو الخوف دعوا به ولا ردوا إلى الرسول وإلى أولي الأمر منهم أطيع الرسول أولي الأمر منكم etc. إنما يخشى الله من عبادي العلماء etc. So the علم got to be spread from the علماء only. علماء either very advanced علماء or طلاب العلم, but they are known to love al-ilm and recommended as people who are capable to convey. Not anyone who start seeking knowledge, he becomes talib al-ilm. Yes, namely he is called talib al-ilm. But is he capable to, and this is another problem. There are some people who converted from Christianity to Islam and they immediately come to Jamia al-Islamiyya or to Medina or to Mecca or Yemen or Egypt and stay for some time and they come back as du'a. Yet they eat the Quran wrong. And they consider themselves du'a. And the Salafi Shaykh of the West. This is also wrong. This is also wrong. And it must be witnessed. And when the alim recommends someone as these talib al-ilm, it is not accepted from the alim just like that. It must be known that this alim, this student has stuck to this alim long enough in his circles of knowledge to be known as talib al-ilm. Not just because the alim call him Sheikh so-and-so, or because the alim say you can't go to this and take from him. No. It's not like that. It is when this student of knowledge has spent some time with the people of knowledge, as a student sitting to their classes and learning and examining, tested. Not as a physical body in the sitting. Him like any other pillar of the masjid or chair in the class. No. It's not like that. And that's what makes it a big mess today. Lot of those scholars today in the world are not qualified scholars. And if it is at the time of Umar ibn Khattab, I believe that he is going to beat them with the durra. Because they have taken position higher than them. And sooner or later they are going to break their backs. Because they are carrying a big load. And if you are not strong enough, this big load will break your back. So you're going to hurt and harm yourself. And look to how many of them already harmed themselves. How many of them? Many of them already harm themselves. So, the best thing is for the one whom Allah Ta'ala guided to the Salafiyah and knew the truth, is leave everything to your back and direct to the scholars. Seek the knowledge with the intention to teach yourself. Not with the intention to be known as a student of so-and-so, that's wrong. Or to know some issues and then come up to speak about them, also this is wrong. And at the meantime, you prepare yourself by, why we say you have to stick to an alim, because there you learn the etiquettes of the ulama. And you find it okay and not a big thing when you are found wrong to come up and say, I was wrong. No problem. I was wrong. That is how Tulab al-Ilm are. If you want to know the Talib al-Ilm, you see if he doesn't have kibr, if he sits to the scholars, this is Talib al-Ilm. Not Talib al-Ilm will bring a group of juhal, he come with them to the sheikh, and then he sit next to the sheikh. And they are sitting there so they see him, oh, we have two shuyukh. Nah, this is not correct. He should sit there with them, as one of them. And he'll be rewarded, as every one of them. And he's going to be given the reward of his, and of every one of them. Because he was the one who guided them to this haq. But to come and sit like a sheikh, so the people, these guys look to you like, oh wow, Sheikh so and so is sitting in beside him. This is not correct. It's a cheating. This is deceiving the da'wah salafiyah. This is not correct. Right. Here is a question from the sisters. In regard to the net, if you have, I already unread that, those who raised their hands. If you have any question, please send it now. Is it obligatory to have ijma by the ulama before we, the general people, declare someone as innovator? What about this is a good question. Is it obligatory to have ijma' by the ulama before we, the general people, declare someone as innovator? What about warning from someone's mistakes, even though we do not fully understand the proofs? First of all, is it obligatory to have ijma? This is difficult. How can you have ijma? But some alim may see someone as a mubtada. I say jazakallahu khair, he's an alim. If I know that this alim is a man who looks for the truth, haqq only, and fears Allah, say jazakallahu khair. And the other alim who did not see him innovator, I say also jazakallahu khair. Should I now warn against him as innovator? I say no. Should I warn against the mistakes that this alim who quoted him as innovator brought out? If I know that these are mistakes, if I am capable to know that these are mistakes, then I warn against these mistakes. I warn against these mistakes. But if I don't know if they are mistakes or not mistakes, so what? How can I warn against? Unless if you say that I hear Sheikh so-and-so saying about this man has this mistake. So you are a conveyor. When you are a conveyor, you are not the one who said it. But the condition is to refer. Not like those many, mashallah, callers in the West. They hear Sheikh so-and-so say that this man is innovator. They come and say, are we found this man is innovator because he has this. They are not qualified enough. And they don't want to refer it back to the scholar who first said it, so that they be seen. So when you one day hear from someone that Sheikh so-and-so said he's innovator, you say, wow, that da'i must be a sheikh now, because his statement had hurt the statement of that alim. And in real, he has stolen that from the alim. He heard it before you, but he came up to show that he is the one. And this is one of the debates I had with some of them, and I've been to Sheikh Rabi' for. Sheikh Rabi' made them wrong on that. This is what I say, ya ikhwan. Refer, this is amana. Salafi must be abun amana, must be trustworthy. How come you take the statement of others and refer it to yourself? This is lying. How come a Salafi da'i Salafi lie? This is haram. So if you convey, no problem, but name the person you convey from. And second thing, if two scholars have different opinions, they agree upon the mistakes, but two different opinions that this man is innovator or not, you warn against the mistakes, but you don't say that he is innovator. You don't say that he is innovator. Now,
if the first scholar believes that person is an innovator,
yeah,
you take his opinion, you say this scholar says this scholar is an innovator, do you believe that he's an evangelist? Do you just convey the message, or do you have the same belief as that scholar? Although there's another scholar who maintains that he's not an evangelist.
لا, as I said, if both the ulama agree about the mistakes, you convey their statement about the mistakes. Okay?
But one of them is the
now, one second. If they both agree on the mistakes, you convey their statements about the mistakes. You say, this alim and this alim said this man has mistakes. Now, when one alim says he's an innovator, and if you want to convey it, because sometimes some people say it is from the amana to convey it. Okay, but you convey both. You say, Sheikh so-and-so says he's, but Sheikh so-and-so says not. But both of them agree that this is a mistake, what he said or what he did. So you warn the people about the mistake, but you avoid to, be upon one side more than the other for something you don't really know or qualified of. Now, here another question. Let's take one question from the net. Says here, Assalamu alaikum. Says here, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakum Allah. Dunya wal akhirah iyyakum. I have the same question about mahram, please. Allah al-musta'an. It is still not clear to me, and one another question if possible, inshallah. Okay, present first of all your question about the mahram once again. And then inshallah bring the other question, no problem. Other brother Hassan ibn Muhammad says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. What is our stance towards tamattu'? Eh? Tamattu' tabligh. Huh? That is, they call it tamattu' tabligh. Allah, tamattu' in hajj. First time. Ifrat tabligh or tamattu' tabligh. Do we boycott them? Oh, maybe jama'at tabligh, but he missed. Jama'at tabligh. Do we boycott them totally? Or do we have to act towards them in a kind manner to call them to the da'wah salafiyya and our and other innovators? Wallahi, first of all, are you using the pronoun them? Are you talking about them when they are in their gathering together, or them by the meaning that any one of them? First of all, I don't know any alim say that they are kuffar. So they still have rights. The second, when they are in their gathering, you don't join them, you don't show any pleasure to them. You don't help them in this gathering, because it is ta'awun al-ithmi wal-udwan. If you are capable to advise with the proofs and evidences, and you can go there, you have the power to go there and speak the truth without being harmed or causing fitna, then yes, you do it. But if you think that you are going to be harmed or there's going to be a fitna, then you don't do it. You just try to take one of them and you find the most tolerant one of them. Most or one of them, then you speak to him. Maybe he accepts. Na'am, Allah. What about the other innovators? Same thing. Here, a question from the sister side says, to be Salafi mean holding on to your scripture is very difficult for me to read. نعم طويل الإقراء ولخصه أنا أقرأ واحد من هنا. إذا هذا question from the net says I have two questions which regarding to owning cats. I have been advised about the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbid the price of the cats. I don't know price of the cats. I don't know. Yeah, last week I spoke about price of dogs. First time I hear price of the cats. Maybe Allah alam. Who knows is hujjah against the one who doesn't know. And I don't know. If you have the proof, jazakallah khair, you can bring it. But naam, I want to know if this includes picking up a cat at the pit shelter, because in the pit shelter you also have to pay a certain amount of money with which they pay for sheltering and feeding the other cats. Are there yani any limitations to which names you can give to our pit cat? Are certain types of animals makruh or haram? Wallah, I think this is yani waste of money and waste of time. There are orphans around the world that they have no one to give them any shelter, no one to take care of them. Instead of taking care of cats, that Allah Ta'ala provide it with food and everything, you better yani go on yani take an orphan and add him to your family and take care of him or her. This would be better. Even orphan of kuffar, because when you raise the orphan of kuffar and your family and they become Muslim, mashallah. Now you raise orphan, you get the reward of that and made him Muslim. And if you don't know orphans or you don't want orphans, yani you can take the cats in the street. And at least those in the shelter, they have home, they have someone to take care about. But these miskin cats in the street, what about them? Yani why they remain all the time in the streets? They are miskin. They are eating from the garbage and, you know. Now you better pick them and take care of them. But don't sell them. Allah Allah. Nakhasu? Na.
Question. To be Salafi means holding onto your kids and kin. And if you are knowledgeable and give, shouldn't that person be given da'wah to his family and extended family first? So how do we advise this person, even though he is a da'i, a person who actively gives da'wah, Salafiya, but doesn't visit his relatives except on them da'wah anymore, but they are in need of it? Please advise.
Yani only visit them in this?
That's what they say.
And give them da'wah after this?
No.
Ah. I thought I would appreciate him. Wallahi, this da'i doesn't read the Quran, I think. Maybe he is only reading the books of Jarh al-Ta'dil and this, but he is not concerned about the Quran. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala said, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, and warn your closest kin. And as he saw Salam implemented that, he called, when this ayah was descended, he climbed the mountain of As-Safa in Mecca and called him all the tribes of Quraysh in their names, and then individuals, the closest to the closest, until he called his uncle Abbas, Hamza, his aunt Safiya, his daughter Fatima, he called them all and warned them. So how come this da'i does not يعني, give the da'wah to the closest kin to him? And the other thing, Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, هَلْ حَسِبْتُمْ هَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ أَن تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَتُقَطْعُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ. Will you, once ever the power given to you and become the يعني, authorities, you cut the kin relations and destroy on land? So the da'i must be someone who is the good example. Now you are going to give a talk about kinship and this and that. So and maybe your aunt is there or your uncle is there and he stands and say, you are a liar. You are boycotting us. What are you going to do? What are you going to say? What face are you going to wear? So now the da'i is the best example of a Muslim who implements what he calls to, what he says. Maybe you say, oh, these are mubtadi'a, and they are awam, they don't know nothing. But he still, يعني, he wants to excuse his mistakes, and he says that these are mubtadi'a. They are from amongst the Brelwis and Jubandis and Dandis and others. Okay, go to them and call them in a nice way. Allah Ta'ala said, يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. Protect yourself and your family is the fire. He knows that his sister is like this and he boycotts her. His aunt is like this and he boycotts her. His mother and he boycotts her. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. That's wrong. That's wrong. Any question here? You do have? Another question from the net. So you need a mahram to travel from a city to a city. Yes, a woman does need a mahram. By the hadith, لا يحل لامرأة تؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر أن تسافر مسيرة يوم وليلة. In one hadith, مسيرة يومين وليلتين. Another hadith, مسيرة ثلاث أيام وليلتين. Another hadith, أن تسافر سفرا. In one another hadith. So in this one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the distance. Said a distance that to be covered, and either walking or by camel, and one day and night, or a distance to be cut in 2 days and nights, or a distance that to be cut in 3 days and nights. And then he said, any travel. And we see that these different distances mentioned, that means, yani, as I said before, the urf. In some countries, the urf might consider sabr is only when it is cut in 3 days and nights as a maximum. And more than that, of course, all the humans believe that it is sabr, a travel. But some maybe consider that it is only trouble when it is 3 days and nights. Because maybe it's a small country and the towns are very close. So if you go from one town to another, it would not take the time. Right? Some, 2 days and nights, and two nights. Some, 1 day and one night. So it might be different from one land to another. But the main hadith is that where Rasulullah SAW said, لا يحل امرأة أن تسافر سفرا. Any travel which is considered to the people of that place is a travel. Not to the people who consider the 2 nights and days travel. Right? So, any travel that is considered to be a travel to the people living in that area, then it is haram for the woman to travel without a mahram. Travel without a mahram. Nah.
It's regarding the issue when you mentioned about some of the
groups, what they call themselves, especially the Jihadiyin, the Salafiyin, what they call them. Now their argument, obviously, they will say the reason why they call and they go on in Jihad, because they claim, some of them, that the leaders are so busy with their life, they don't want to destroy the life that they have, so they will never call for Jihad. So, I mean, I'd like you to elaborate on this.
Manish, say again?
Basically, the people, the Jihadiyin of the Salafiyin, like who they call themselves, Jihadiyin Salafiyin,
yeah.
They say, if we wait for the ruler to call upon Jihad, these rulers will never call upon Jihad, because they're busy, they don't want to destroy what they have.
Okay, this is statement from, it is known from these people and hear from them, from these takfiris who call themselves Salafi Jihadis or Jihadis or whatsoever, like Bin Laden and Dawari and whosoever. They say, if we wait for the rulers, the Muslim rulers, to cover Jihad, we are not going to conduct Jihad anyway. We're not going to conduct Jihad anyway. I say, ya akhi, are you more worried about Islam and Muslims than the ulama who are the inheritors of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi? Are you more interesting of shahada than the ulama who taught you the hadith of shahada and the ayat of shahada, who wish to die on shahada? If you say yes, then no doubt that you are wrong. And this is the proof that you are arrogant, ignorant, and a person of desire. If you say no, I'm not more worried about the ummah than the ulama, I don't have more interest to the shahada than the ulama, they must have more than me, then I say, okay, isn't it enough and sufficient for you to be behind them and after them? As Allah Ta'ala put them before you. Allah Ta'ala recommended them saying, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. And you, and Allah Ta'ala says here, verily the ones who fear Allah the most are the ulama. And you say that we want to call for jihad because we fear Allah. So come to the issue of fearing. Who fears Allah the most? The ulama. So why you call for the jihad while they don't? So this, of course, this doubt is completely wrong and easily refuted. Allahu a'lam. Here the sister saying that, here is the proof. The hadith of Abu Zubair, who said, I asked Jabir about the price of dogs and cats. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid that. Well, and she said that it is in Sahih Muslim, hadith number 1569. First of all, I need to check the hadith and the explanation of the ulama upon this hadith. What did they say about it? Who explained the hadith of Jabir? The Sahih Muslim. Second, the man asked about the price of dogs and cats, right? And Jabir said that he forbid. Here, that can mean that he forbid the price of dogs, because the hadith there is clear, that we mentioned last Friday. The hadith is very clear. The price of dog. So, as I said, I need to check the explanation of the scholars in regard to the to this hadith, to the explanation of this hadith. Another question here says, what would you say to someone who jokes about making takfir on people, and the people take it as a joke. So no one becomes affected by this act of play. Wallahi, I need to have an example. I need to have an example because this is not clear to me. What do you mean by make jokes by takfir? Do you mean that he says, you're kafir? The Prophet ﷺ says, who say to his brother, you're kafir, then if it is real, otherwise it reflects back on him. So he, the sayer, become the kafir. Now, any other question? Now. No, this statement is not applicable. Whoever does not say this is mubtada is mubtada. No. Yes, as you said, this is applicable when the person whose name mubtada is named by all the ulama of haqq, the ulama, the salafi ulama, say that he is mubtada. Then no one can come and say, oh, I don't think he's mubtada. Then he's a mubtada like him. He's a mubtada like him. But if it is only one alim or two alim amongst hundreds of ulama salafin say that he's mubtada, then how come we say he's a mubtada also? There are a lot of examples in the biographies of the narrators of hadith. One alim say he's munkar hadith. He's this, he's mubtada, he's abu. But some others say no, he's not. And we find that his hadith has been reported by major scholars of hadith. So, it is not wrong, but it is not right all the time to be used by anyone. And these statements of ruling and judging must be used by qualified persons. Must be used by qualified persons. Like medicines, must only be prescribed by qualified doctors. Not because you are given this medicine and you find it good, so you prescribe it to anyone. Now that's wrong. Because the doctor will know that you have allergy against it or not, you have, any other illnesses that can be affected by this or not. So you have to refer it back to the qualified doctor. And same thing to this. Have to be referred back to the qualified person. Now.
So when, for example, if there are two ulama, they differ if the person is mubtadi or not. Do we go back to the one who has greater proof and is more qualified to make the hukm? Do we take his stance or...
Is it about number?
Now, does this person who is named as a mubtada, his mistakes are agreed by both ulama that these are mistakes? Okay. Now. Yes. One, a person who has mistakes. Two Salafi ulama say he has mistakes. These are mistakes. One consider these mistakes enough to take him out of the sunnah. But one says, no, it is not enough. He's wrong in these mistakes, but he's not. I prefer to go with this.
But the one who said he's gone outside the Yahid and he's more qualified, more specialist. The word is more specialist.
No, we don't have a specialist. There is no field of ilm called the criticism.
What about
Ilm al-Rijal is not a criticism. Ilm al-Rijal is to know who is weak, who is not. Now Ilm al-Rijal is only criticism. How come then?
What if more scholars support this individual and so you have more in numbers?
It's not about numbers. It's not about numbers. As I said, now, if they agree upon the mistakes of this, then we have no doubt that this person has mistakes. Right? Now, some of the ulama consider him mubtada because of these mistakes. Some of the ulama consider him not. here we cannot say this side is the right or this side is the right.
They are both right.
I would say, no, the haq must be one, cannot be both. I would say one of them is given one time riwa because of his false ijtihad, and one is given double time riwa because of his perfect ijtihad. And what position I take, as I said, if you are a qualified talib al-ilm or a alim, to differ between this scholar statements, then you say your statement as you want to see it when you stand before Allah. If you are not qualified, the safest thing is to keep quiet of it, warn against the mistakes, and stay away from that. Because this is not the limit that Allah made obligatory upon you. Except if you convey the two statements of the scholars. You say, both of these scholars said that these are mistakes of this person. And this scholar said he is Mubtada, but the other said he is not. That's all what I have. Now,
is it correct, or should one go around repeating the words of the scholar in this particular case, even if strong, harsh, bad words were used? If the scholar exposed somebody and said, he's a Muqtadi, he is Kadab, he is Dajjal, he is this, he is that, should the general people like us, go around repeating these words?
If you are repeating them, referring. Okay, if you are referring these words to the scholar, you say, scholar so and so, Sheikh so and so said about this man, he's the Jali, he's Kadab, he's this. There's no wrong in that. But if you yourself saying, oh, this man is the Jali, this Kadab, and when you are put in the corner, you say, ah, I didn't say it from my mind. This is Sheikh said it. This is a kind of, as I said, what do we call that? Enlarging yourself. I'm big. And when the elevating and making yourself big. And when the needle comes to the balloon, you say, wait. I only had it from the sheikh. That's not correct. No.
You got the scenario which I gave you, and you chose the one with more rahmat upon the. Then wouldn't someone say that you, if you take that stance, you would be like Khomeini, someone who is more liberal?
Wallahi, look, yani, Mumayya and, Mumayya is the one who de-ice, huh? De-icing. Let's call them the icer and the de-icer. We don't need the ice to be de-iced all the time, and we don't want the water always to be iced up. Otherwise, we're not going to drink. So let's be middle. Let's be middle. Let's be the ones who transfer the water after the ice, so people drink it. These statements, Mumayya and this and that, as I said, if you are a talib al-ilm or a scholar, these statements can be said against you, to demote you. But if you are a common person, what is Mumayya and not Mumayya? Are you someone whose statement is... has value? You have no value for a statement. So if they say you are Umayya, what is it? I think the one who say like this, he is Maya. He is Maya. He has been de-iced. Allahu Akbar. 5 years, another question from the net says, this person says, I make takfir on you for something that is not worth making takfir, like talking to a female, but he is just joking. La akhi, there is no joke in this. How come you joke and say I make takfir on you? I wish you didn't use this joke with me, otherwise I might use my muscles. How come you say I make takfir on you and I'm joking? No joke on that, akhi. No joke. You better take him aside and advise him. And let's be serious. Why we always like to be joking and joking and joking? لا لا, these things we joke in the salah, we cannot joke. What about in aqidah? We joke in aqidah? That's that. In the salah, which is ibadah, worship, we don't joke. What about in aqidah? In aqidah we joke, which is much greater than ibadah. That's wrong, ya akhwan. No. Makul. Yeah? Well, I think that this statement is correct from one side, but not upon what the Ikhwani is using it for. We unite upon what we agree upon, and we defer, or we pardon each other. لا هي ويعذر يعذر يعذر is not like excuse one another on what we differ upon. I say this statement is correct if it is modified. And let me do the modification now. Let's cooperate on what we agree upon, and let's advise one another on what we differ upon. First. That is simple and basic. But that statement, and let us excuse one another on what we differ, that's a problem. Yani, okay, we differ in grave worshiping. Okay, no one talk about it. Khalas. No one talk about it. We differ with the Shia about Aisha. No one talk about it. Khalas. Let the Shia say what they say. Let the Shia curse her, and we ask Allah's pleasure to be bestowed on her. And I ask these people, if someone agree that this person is a child of this man and this woman, they agree, who this person believe that is father and mother, right? So he agrees with him now. But they differ from him, they differ with him by saying that, but he is an illegitimate son. Would he accept that? So now there is a differ. Okay, no problem. You say what you say, and he says what he says. You claim that he is Ibn Zina, a legitimate son of this man and woman, and you say what you say, that you are legitimate son of this man and woman. Who said that? Who accept that? So this is totally wrong. But when it is modified, let's cooperate on what we agree upon, and let's advise one another on what we are deferring on. This would be the haqq as the Quran and Sunnah guide you to. Here's a question, it says, Barakallahu fiqh, Shaykh, what is the ruling keeping on a fire background on the or garden while giving lectures on hell or heaven? إيش هذا؟ أنا ما فهمت السؤال.
هذا ويجعل حتى كان تذكرة أو شيء.
أيوه. والله this is an innovation. I remember in one Hajj with the new Muslim group. There are about around 300-400 of them, very new Muslims. First time they do Hajj. And on the 10th of the Hijjah, I think, I came from outside the compound. When I entered the compound, I saw the dua there, who are Hizbis, of course, bringing, what do you call that? A'udhu Billah. Yani, مثل الجمرات. لو اسم بيشتغل مثل شكل الشيء It was a word for it. So they bring something, yani look like the jamarat. They even draw the bricks of the jamarat on it and the head shape of the jamarat, yani exactly like jamarat. And they brought stones, teaching the people how to stone. And then they brought the shape of a Kaaba. Not they brought shape like Kaaba.
A
carport. Huh?
A carport.
What?
A carport.
Yeah. A cardboard one. So they told the people how to make tawab and the mistakes. I say, what is this? They say, this is better for teaching. Said, who said better for teaching? Don't you feel that these new Muslims think that every compound can have their own Kaaba and their own shayateen, as they called it? They called them shayateen. I say, Akhi, this is an innovation. The Prophet ﷺ did not teach the people like that. And in regard to the Jannah and fire, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was shown the Jannah and the fire one day, and he described everything in them, but he did not show the Sahaba. He did not show the Sahaba what he saw. He did not ask Jibreel to bring it on the wall so they can see it. Big screen, cinema. It's not correct, Ikhwan. This is not correct. The Quran is strong enough to strike the hearts. If it is presented from a pious heart, sincerely for Allah, honestly, and to, advise the people. Wallahu a'lam. Right. Any other question? Or shall we read something from the Aqidah book? Can you answer my question, please, when you finish? What was the question? So many questions. Is it about the mahram? No. What was the question? It's there, طيب. Let me just go over and see. Tabarakallah. Okay. Yeah, about trouble in Mahram. I answered it. How do you know what times to pray about Salah? طيب, 1 second. Let's go Akfar. Okay. This sister is asking about Salah. How do we know what times to pray, especially here in London? Why especially in London? What about New York? What about Ottawa? China? They are all the same. Especially here in London, in the West, type. Good. And in the east as well, where the sun is not visible. In London? The sun is not visible in London? Huh? The sun is invisible in London? In the Scandinavian countries maybe, but not in London. Yeah. Right, anyway. Well, yani answer the question as well. It is when the sun is not seen. When the sun is not seen for clouds or for the location of this country, whether near to the right pole or the south pole, where the sun is sometimes not seen, like in the winter or something like that, then you estimate the time. You take it to the nearest land to you where the sun is seen, visible, where the times, the day and night is distinguished. So you pray according to their timing. But today it is very simple. today with the technology, it is very easy to know the timing. Now, in your place where you are, do you have AM and PM, or it is all the same? I'm sure that you have AM and PM. You know when it is morning, when it is night. Based on what?
They pray
Isha 1.5 hours after Maghrib. Is Maghrib distinguished?
Maghrib is distinguished.
No problem for Isha. Now Fajr is the problem. Because Isha can be combined to Maghrib, we say no problem for Maghrib, for Isha. Because Isha is from the prayers that can be combined. So if you give 1.5 hours, it's long enough. Inshallah. But that's the problem, Fajr. On what base they say 1:30? Now, 1:30. 1:30, you mean you can see the sun?
Sun's already there.
They are saving electricity in the street, so they don't have any lights on. Allah, this is good.
At
1:30, does it differ?
We know what has a sunrise.
Now, forget about the opinions. I'm asking, of who visibly seen it? Does the sun, or is there any change in the sky at 1:30?
The issue is mainly about, because you can estimate between after the Maghrib is estimated.
Right.
The issue is about the Fajr.
That's it. I'm asking for the Fajr.
The issue about the Fajr, it doesn't really get dark. In order,
forget about getting dark. I am asking, at 1:30, as he said, do you see any changes in the sky?
We don't.
What time you see the changes?
The big changes come around about 3:30, then the sky gets lighter.
What? Okay, it gets lighter.
Yes.
It gets yellow or white light?
You will see the sunrise. At 5 o'clock, you will see the sunrise.
You see the sunrise.
Yeah.
The sun rises already. Okay. Then that is 3:30.
Roundabout.
Then we say better to be 2:30, like that. 3:15 or 3 o'clock is the Fajr. I would say that this is more accurate than the ones who pray at 1:30. Wallahu a'lam. Please can I ask my question now? Okay, go ahead. I'm sure we answered it, but go ahead, please, quickly.
Is there something wrong?
Yeah?
For a Salaf to say, I don't have to make people. And just say, especially on the issue, let's say I take the issue where you have a difference of opinion among scholars, whether to name that person a Muqtadi' or not. Now, if you refer back to Hadith, where it says, let the man stop from lying,
that he will say whatever he heard.
La la la. This hadith is not about what the scholars say. This is about what the rumors.
That's what I'm saying.
But it's not a rumor. You're saying that scholars say.
But what I'm trying to say, there is difference of opinion among the scholars. One is saying he's a muqtada, no doubt to that.
Right.
The other is not saying a muqtada.
Right.
He may say he made a mistake, but that's it. That's not fair.
Right.
Is it? I mean, is it a mistake from somebody who's trying to follow the madhab of Salafi to say, okay, I'm not going to repeat whatever scholar has said.
What is he going to do?
I'm just going to mention the mistakes. Like, as a general thing.
This is one of the opinions, because the other scholar who did not name a mubtada, he just mentioned the mistakes.
Yeah, but that's what's happening now these days. You find some scholars, when they ask a question, they will say, this is a mistake, to do this, this is a mistake, to do this, this is a mistake.
Yeah.
When you find another one, you say, that person, and he will name the person, and he will say, he made a mistake, and he may make an mubtada, he may not make a mubtada. In this situation, what he's saying, is it okay as a Salafi not to mention the name of the person, just to mention the mistake?
La la la. You just mentioned the mistakes, it's a meaningless. Yani if I say, Ya Ikhwan, shaving beard is haram. Everyone knows it's haram. They don't need me to say it's haram. But when I say that, Sheikh so and so say it is not haram, then I'm speaking about something new, something serious. Did he say it to you personally? You alone? He talked to you alone, he said, well, I think it is not haram to shave beard. Between you and him only, then don't bring it. But if he said it in a lecture, how come you say, I'm not going to... Even people will know that you are speaking about him. Even now, if I say, for example, that, Ikhwan, there was one who said, one caller who said that, if you come on an advertisement of blades and put the blade on your cheek, which is already clean shaved, this is not haram. But don't ask me who is he, I'm not going to. People know it. Because he said it on the media. But when he said it to you personally, you should not bring it out until he speaks of it. But if he already spoke about it on a lecture, in his book, in the newspaper, on a TV interview, then how come you're going to say, oh, someone said. Everyone knows that you mean this particular person.
But do you have to mention that?
Yes, you have. Yes, you do have to mention that. Yes, you do have to mention that. Otherwise, what is the benefit of mentioning just the mistake? Don't the people know that shaving beard is haram? What new you are bringing to them? But you are warning against this mistake which come up now. It's come up now. And when you say only one caller or one scholar said this, you are making the people now in a problem, putting them in a problem. They are start thinking, oh, who is he? Maybe Uthaymeen, maybe Minbaz, maybe Albani, maybe... Now you should say, who said it? This is from the Amana. From the Amana. Wallahu A'lam. I feel the sister's question said, my question is to understand if the Shaykh talking about the pregnant woman mourn only for her husband over 3 days. But for other than that, she only mourn for 3. Ishada, I could not understand this. And how long do the woman mourn for the non-Muslim? Ishada, ish ma'ana hada. Ma fahim tana.
Understand if the sheikh talking about the pregnant woman
and somebody died.
Okay.
نعم.
But for other than that,
حداد.
هي
تقول على الحداد.
أيوة تقول على ال يعني.
على الزوج ثلاثة أيام.
تقول يعني على الزوج لا على الزوج.
أربعة أشهر عشر.
أيوة. لكن على الآخرين.
أقرباء الآخرين ثلاثة أيام.
For them that she only mourns for the and how long do women mourn for the non-Muslims? تقول كم كم يعني.
For the non-Muslims. Non-moment. يعني the non-Muslim, you don't mourn for them any moment. Because they died on kufr. They died on kufr. يعني now you're mourning, you're not, you're feeling sad, you're not, doesn't going to bring them out of the fire. Doesn't going to bring them out of the fire. But when it is a Muslim, you mourn because يعني 3 days because this every time you remember you're going to pray for them. Ya Allah, oh Allah forgive them, oh Allah. But when a Kaaba, what are you going to say? If you say oh Allah forgive them, you are disobeying Allah. نعم والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك. نعم.
Have any good action for the son of the daughter doing these things? Does it make the punishment less on the graveyard, not on the tomb?
If they die, what? Kuffar? If they die as kuffar?
They die as a kuffar.
La la la. If the person dies as a kafir, even if Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم seek forgiveness for him, is not going to change nothing. As Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran. And as he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about his mother, when he visited her grave, and he said, I asked Allah to permit me visiting her grave, Allah permitted me, and when I asked him to permit me seeking forgiveness for her, Allah Ta'ala prevented me from that, or stopped me from that. So, even if they mourn about, for a non-Muslim relative, or father or mother, it does not going to protect them from the fire which they should receive. It's not going to change. And if it is going to change, it would have changed the case of the father of the Prophet, mother of the Prophet. Maybe one would say, okay, what about Abu Talib? Abu Talib is the uncle. So how the uncle be benefited but not the father and mother. By the hadith of his mother, by gathering the hadith of his mother and the hadith of his uncle, we understand that his uncle was not, yani the punishment was not really reduced for him because he mourned for him or he is his relative. No, but because he defended Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and adopted him, supported him, like that. For these reasons. For that, he did this to help him in spreading Islam. That's the only thing.
Did I remember listening or reading once? One of the du'as, he was saying, I'm not sure if it's reading or listening, he was stating the hadith that when a Muslim passes a cemetery of a non-Muslim, he should hasten to pass the cemetery because
Sahih.
The punishment will stop.
It won't stop. It won't stop.
Because that's the argument he gave. He said, because that punishment will stop, he said...
The question is, did Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم visit the grave of his mother?
Yes.
Did he mention that it stopped?
No, he didn't.
So how come we say? Although he mentioned that he asked Allah to allow him seeking forgiveness, Allah Ta'ala did not permit him for that. And he did not say, oh, me visiting her, that moment is stopped. He did not say that. From where this caller said.
Let's confirm it now. Any actions of a Muslim child to a non-Muslim parent after they die,
doesn't benefit the parent at all. Now.
Mr. question regarding your topic about the non-Muslim dying. Some Muslims say, if the non-Muslim did some khair, we cannot say non-Muslim when they die that they're going to the hellfire. For example, if they bring Mother Teresa, she does so many good.
Where are they going to go to?
No, we can't. Basically, maybe Allah will somehow. So we can't say to them, for example, Gandhi, Muslim, any of these people.
But where are they going to go?
Right,
now his mother or grandmother, he cannot say. Okay, me, she's not my mother. Can I say or cannot? Or no one can say for no one.
Can say when they die, they're going to be dead. They may be. We don't know. We're not sure. You can't say, oh, that man, Gandhi, he died. He's in hellfire. You can't say.
But when can I say? When? When I am sure.
No.
In my life, if a kafir, you said that because this kafir was yani good or raised his yani children up, okay, we cannot say that. When can I say? What yani? What make you
sure?
Or what make that this kafir? إيش يقولون يستحق.
Deserves,
yani saying that he is in the fire. What can make that?
This
so, if he is.
For example, we had a issue of there's a woman,
Diana,
she died. Whatever incident. But some people said they were maybe Muslim, she became Muslim, she died. Then they move forward to see if there were some men from the non-Muslim, they've done some khair in the dunya. When they die, they don't want to believe that they will be in hellfire. So if a Muslim says, no, he's in hellfire. They said, oh, maybe Allah will send
rahmah. No, all this is wrong. Whoever dies upon kufr, and we know that he never accepts Islam, he is to the fire. Whoever dies on Islam, and we don't know that he busted, then he is to the Jannah. Now, is this kafir said the statement of Shahada before he dies and no one hears him? This is for Allah. We cannot say, but we judge what we know. Is this Muslim rejected Islam before he just died and no one hears this apostasy? It's for Allah. We cannot judge it.
Sometimes they say you cannot name a kafir that is dead, he's in hellfire. For example, you can't say, for example,
he may have taken
Shahada.
For example, Mother Teresa, anyone.
Right, 1 second.
This woman is in hellfire.
1 second.
How do you know?
Right, 1 second. Why Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam named Abu Talib? That is in fire. Why?
He knew he didn't take Shahada.
Everyone else, same thing. Everyone else, same. Do you know? Do you know that XYZ, I don't want to name someone, but XYZ from what you know of the kuffar that you used to know them, who died. Do you know that they took Shahada? What do you say about them? Are they Muslims or kuffar? You agree that, and those people agree that we can call them kuffar?
Yes.
So, where are the kuffar going to be? والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.